Man, we believe in missions. I'll tell you this. I believe there are people in this room that are going to be missionaries. That's scary? There are people in this room that are going to be missionaries. And the reason I believe it is because God wants to use people who are willing to go and do the unthinkable thing. And if you're willing to be bold enough and courageous enough to say yes to God, then he will stretch you and use you beyond what you think is capable in your own life. I know it because there are people in this room that have served as missionaries. And there are others that are going to serve as missionaries. See, we are a big missions believing church. We believe in mission. We give above and beyond our tithes to see missionaries go across the world. There's friends in that video that we support from this church doing work out across the nations. And I'm so very thankful that you believe with us, that we believe together and we give together and serve together in that way so the mission of God can go forward. Amen. Because people need to know Jesus. Okay, I'm going to get off my mission soapbox and start doing what I'm supposed to be doing over here. All right. Hey, if we haven't met, my name is Jay. I'm one of the pastors here. We're so glad to be able to connect with you. Welcome to Cornerstone. We're glad that you're worshiping with us here on campus or online. I would encourage you to connect with us on all the different avenues, on all the social things, as well as the app. The app helps us connect with all the different events that are happening, as well as life group sign up that's going to be happening very soon in the fall. So I'm going to encourage you to get the app, download it. You can also access all those things from our website, cornerstoneaz.org. So that's some of the things that I want to encourage you to do so you can stay connected throughout the week. You know, who we are is beyond this gathering setting. It's also how we meet in life groups. And we do those 3 times a year in a semester style process where we have groups that meet for a season, and they meet together and they grow together, they connect and they serve. It's those 3 things: connect, grow, serve. And it's a way for us to be intentional in our lives for Christ. How many people know it's easy to kind of be on autopilot if you don't pay attention? Anybody else? How many people, like, you've ever just let the streaming thing you're watching just keep playing? Anybody ever done that? And then eventually it's like, hey, are you still here? And you're like, stupid thing. Yes, I'm still here. And then you're like, wait, what am I doing with my life? Anybody? No? Okay. Here's the deal. We have to be intentional. We have to be people who are intentional with our time, intentional with our talent, intentional with connecting with others. Because if we don't, we won't naturally just go make new friends. We won't naturally grow in our life with God. Because the easier path is not to. But the thing that's better for you is to grow in your life with God. And the thing that's even better than that is to take those things you're growing in and to put them into action and to serve. Just like we prayed over Ron today, that it'd be a blessing for you and your life just as much as a blessing to those you're serving, that let God work in and through you. Let me encourage you to do that. We were talking about the Summer of Love. How many people have appreciated these sermon series, the Summer of Love? Man, it's been encouraging to me. And it's a piece of stuff that we've been looking at. We've been jumping off of 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We jumped off the first week and we talked about the power of love, the power of love. We talked about how out of 1 Corinthians 13, the very beginning of the chapter, how you can have all these spiritual things that are happening in your life, but they don't count for anything unless you have love. It says in there, but if I have not love, I gain how much? Nothing. I gain nothing. But we talked about what love is and how God is love. And we talked about that and how it's a jumping off point for us at the beginning of 1 John 4. The next week, we talked about freedom through love. It was the 4th of July. We're talking about freedom. And we talked about out of John 15, it says this, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Did you say amen to that? Then Pastor Celeste talked about love in action last week, and she kicked off 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Love is patient, love is kind. She talked about it, but I'll be real. This week, those words kept echoing in my head. Love is patient, love is kind. Anybody come across something this week that you needed patience for? And you were like, why do I gotta be patient? Anybody? How about the kindness part? Anybody on the kindness part? Man, that both of them hit me. They hit me like, they're like, whap! I was like, okay, I can take that one. And whap! I was like, come on, man. It's like, you know, you just, something happened. And I was like, I have to be kind. I want to kill. No killing, no killing. Kindness. Man, it's a challenge. That's what I love about this, because the Lord knows what you need before you need it. And he'll bring you the word that you need before the week you have where you need that word. Man, Summer of Love. We've been talking about and using these different songs that jump off to us in out of like popular culture. There's this amazing picture of this artist, Bonnie Tyler. Looks like this. And she sings this song that you might know called Total Eclipse of the Heart. Does anybody know that song? Nobody knows it. Good. The reason I love this picture so much, because it looks like Cindy Brown in the 90s. It was amazing. This is my whole childhood. It's how my mom looked. I'm like, I saw this picture. I was like, ah. It warmed my heart, man. If you guys don't know that song and you don't know that picture of her, you definitely know Turn Around. Yeah, you guys are about to go into the, you're like, every now and then I turn around. And man, you could be walking through the mall and it's like, turn around. And you go, every now and then. You do start doing the music video and you're like, what? Man, she, at the end of it, it's she like goes into this amazing ballad, right? I wish we could play it. We can't because we get kicked off of all the things immediately. But she says, and I need you now tonight, and I need you more than ever, right? She's like, Tonally, say, and if I only hold you tight. And she's like, and it just keeps going stronger and stronger and stronger. At the very end of the song, it's actually heartbreak. Did you guys realize that? If you think about it, it's like, oh, I need this, I need, we're gonna be together forever, forever, forever. Not, maybe not. Anybody feel that way? See, that's how some romantic love is portrayed, because man, I'm going to hold on to you forever, forever. We're together, we're forever. And then maybe it's not forever. Maybe it's just a fleeting idea because we really weren't committed to it. It was just emotions. Too real? I'm going to start again. Okay, so you guys get the idea. We're looking at love and how it's a bit different than that. Summer of Love. If you have your Bible, your tablet, your phone, we're looking today, 1 John 4, but starting in verse 13. I encourage you to open it so you can highlight it. Let it be something that's a blessing to you today. It says this, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses this, that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is so we are also in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. It finishes here. It says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we also have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Lord, we thank you for this word. We pray, Lord, that you would breathe upon it by your Spirit. Lord, that it would make it alive in our hearts and lives today. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you guys lift the house lights for me a little bit? Love abides. That's the first part of this. Love abides. Now, we don't use the word abides very much. Anybody use the word abide on a regular basis? It's not a normal thing. I think when people have a concept of it, they usually put it to a movie idea, like The Big Lebowski, the dude abides, right? That's the idea that people kind of put to it. They think of this guy, he's like, yeah, man, it's a kind of that vibe. But that's not really what it means. It actually means to really stay connected and to be a part. When I think about someone who really abides, I think about Dr. Dick Brogdon. He's a friend of mine. And he's a missionary church planter across the world, especially in the Arab world, where they reside currently in the Arab Gulf. You know, Dick is a personal friend, and he's somebody who's been a big influence in our lives. He's also an author. I would encourage you to go and pick up some of his materials. They're a blessing to me, to Celeste. We've used them. I know others have used them as well. One of those things that is this Live Dead Journal, Live Dead Joy. It's a 365-day daily devotional that just unpacks parts of the scripture. And he's pretty prolific in his writing, so there's a lot of those different things about living a life that is dead to ourselves and alive to what God wants to do through us. In fact, they started this missionary idea with this concept of live dead. We've talked about it before, but it comes to this. It comes to that I'm going to be dead to myself and to my rights and my ambition, and I'm going to say yes to whatever God wants me to do. And you have to have that perspective if you're going to go live in another culture that's hostile to you, and to where you come from, and to what you might look like, or to what you believe. You have to be dead to all those things. And it's really hard to do that because you want to pick those things up back every single day. But if you're going to be used by God in a really difficult place, you have to be full of the power of God and not full of yourself. You know what I mean? Man, we don't even like people that are full of themselves, right? They're so self-focused, so self-centered, and you're like, man, they're so full of themselves. Well, think about it like this. If you empty yourself of your ambition and instead you focus on what God's ambition is for your life, what can he do through you? See, I think it's greater than we would otherwise think. This whole focus actually kicked off church planting all around the 1040 window of our world, around all over the earth, but specifically within the Arab world, which is traditionally a very, very difficult place to plant churches. And they are actively right now about the work of the gospel, planting churches in these places. And of course, we won't share any pictures or names of people that are doing these things, but this is on line where you can see it, and you can go and pray and be people who are about it. I'll tell you this, man, when I think about Dick, he's someone who made it such an important part of abiding with the Lord. He'd get up super early every morning to spend copious amounts of time with Jesus, because the more time you spend with Jesus, the more it rubs off on you. You know what I mean? Man, and you can tell people that have spent a lot of time with Jesus because it's just Jesus coming off of them. And that was the fact with him, man. He would just wake up early to spend that time with Jesus and only with Jesus. No phone, no email. This man is busy. He lived in Cairo, sort of, whenever we lived in Cairo. Like, he was almost never there. He's wheels up teaching here and speaking here and having this meeting here and doing all these things, and all the time making it a priority, turn off the phone, time with Jesus. Time in prayer with Jesus. He said to us, those who were church planting in the Middle East, he said, you know, a lot of what we're doing is only possible because the people who were here that were abiding for the work that we're able to do now. It's like what you hear from Paul talking about. It's not Paul or Apollos that do these things. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. He says, there are those who came and just picked rocks out of the field before someone was able to plant. And what he means is spiritual work. They came and were there fighting in the spirit realm. They were willing to go and to serve and to be loved, and many sacrificed their lives for that ambition. And that isn't any specific other thing than Christianity. He's saying for all people, this has been done. It's intentional about the power of God and about those who will abide in their time with God. You know, we would have a prayer time every single day during the week, and then we meet at the weekend and have prayer time separately. But our prayer time during the week was to pray over these 12 prayers that we prayed in church planning for people groups and boldness and against fear, all these different things that we pray. And then we would meet together on the weekend, and we would actually pray over all the nations of the world. And we would pray over these maps and be praying for, God, send your laborers, Lord, break down these places, anything that's evil that would stand in the way of your gospel going forward, we pray right now. And see, there's something about that, being intentional with your faith, intentional with your prayer, because we did that in a way, because if you're not intentional to do it, that prayer won't happen, because that prayer wasn't about me. And that prayer wasn't about my family. That prayer was about someone I'll never meet. But there are those who need to pray it. And we are those who need to pray it. And so this was something that he modeled to us and then encouraged us to model to others, that we would be people who abide in Christ. Then when we would have teams come into Cairo, we would actually go to the mosques to show them what the mosque is like. People are afraid of it because it's a building and it's set apart to do this other thing. We would go to the mosque. We would go up the minarets of the mosque and pray over the city. Pray over the city that everyone would have the opportunity to respond to God. See, here is the thing. That is still our challenge, that we would be those who pray that others would respond to God. And in difficult places like your neighborhood, like your sphere of influence, those difficult places, that they would respond to the love of God. I think it's apt that we do for just a moment, pray over this region of the world and over these that are working this field, that the Lord would be with them. Will you join me in prayer? Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for these that go and serve. Lord, that these that say yes to live dead, Lord, so that others can know the life that is found in Jesus Christ. God, we come against any stronghold that would be at work right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we can't ask for favor with the government. We pray blessing upon their leaders, the leaders of the countries, Lord, upon the governors of those places, upon people of power. Lord, we ask for your favor to be upon them, Lord, that they would be drawn to you, Lord, through a conversation or through your scripture or through a dream, that the revelation of Jesus Christ would be theirs, that they would experience the love of God, which is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for all of these friends that are serving these places, God, that you would just wrap your arms around them today, that they would feel the presence of God and know that friends across the world are praying for them, that they would be emboldened to continue forward with the things you've called them to do. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when we talk about abiding, it is those things. It is talking about staying connected to the Lord. It says this in the beginning of that scripture, "By know this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit." The Spirit is with us. Amen? And so because of that, we walk abiding in Christ, in relationship with him, walking according to it. And how do we know that? Because we abide in God. We stay in his presence. Amen? Now, how many people have ever been like, you're full of God, something happened, you made a decision, and you very much felt the difference between being in the presence of God and whatever presence you were deciding to be in? Anybody has done that? Like, I'm going to be in my own presence full of my own anger and ambition. And you're like, wow, what happened to the peace of God? It was right here. It's like, hold on. Lord, forgive me. Oh, there it is. I found it again. Here we go. Hey. And that's what I'm talking about. Staying connected to the Lord, staying connected to him. Man, this past week, I was so thankful for the rain. How many people are thankful for the rain? Whew, man, all the fishermen who've seen like the lakes go, brrr, are like, yes, rain, thank you, Jesus. So thankful for that. At the same time, we had all the lightning. Anybody, all the lightning? It was amazing, so pretty, love it, in the desert. It was so pretty, and we're so thankful that it hit the church and blew a big chunk off the corner of our building. And when it did that, it fried all the things, you guys. Fried all the things. Anything connected to the internet, dead. That's all the things, by the way. Anything connected to power, flipped them. Weren't working. All the things. So, yes, phones, internet, the cameras, the doors. Man, if you guys ever seen this movie, Jurassic Park, it was like when the park turned off, we were like huddled around trying to figure it out. It's like me and Ethan, a bunch of technicians, man. We had Joel and Jeremy, sound techs. We have all these guys. We're like, okay, guys, what do we got to do to get the power on? It was like the dinosaurs are coming for us. We got to do it right now. All of you guys are showing up on Sunday. We're like, we have to do it now. Do it. Man, we begged and borrowed equipment to make today happen. You know, I was like standing in front of that panel, right, where she's like standing in front of the panel. She's like trying to figure out how to turn it all on. And then the dinosaur breaks through and tries to eat her. That's how I felt, man. I was like standing in front of this stuff. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. But the Lord gave us grace, and I'm very thankful to you guys and to those who serve for making it happen. But the line from the movie is, we didn't respect that power, and now the power is gone. And see, that's how I think it is in our lives, is that we don't respect the power of Christ and the Spirit of God in our lives until we decide to walk away from Him, and that power is gone. And we're trying to do all these things on our own, and guess what? We weren't supposed to do it on our own. We're supposed to do it full of the power of God so that things would work properly, so that we could see things happen. And we're over here without any power, and we're wondering why we're having all the problems. Anybody? And man, if I ever needed patience, it was this week. Because we're walking through it. I'm like, Ethan and I are trying to troubleshoot stuff, man. We're talking blah, 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 blah. And this, and we repair this thing. And we walk up. Nope, all these things are broken too. Okay, here we go. We're going to fix all these things too. Add it to the list. But here's the deal. It gives you a respect for the power. And here's the parallel. If we have that respect for the power of God, we'll stay connected to Him. We will abide. We will remain in the power of God. Man, I want to encourage you, don't try to live this Christian life without the power of God. Don't try to live without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't do it. You will not be successful. You will crash and burn. We've seen it happen, even to the best, even to the ones that the Lord has lifted up and used as pastors, where they get outside of what the Spirit is doing in their life. What happens? They get burnt up, man. They make a mistake. They try to force it. They try to do the thing in their own power, man. That's any person. I'm not picking on any name. That's any person that gets outside of the Spirit working in their life. Let me encourage you, man, to stay connected. Abide in Him. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, in you. God abides in you. Did you hear it? It said, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, God abides in you. He's with you and in you. You don't have to go find Him. He is with you. I love that. It says that, so we come to know and to believe the love God has for us. God has love for you. Some people need to hear that today. God has love for you. God is not mad at you. God has love for you. Because God is love. And he loves us so very much. And the thing is that love abides in God. We see it in the scripture. Love abides in God. And because it abides there, we have to abide there to be love. Because love is not apart from God. God is love. So to get to love, we have to abide in God, because that's where love resides. And so if we aren't full of the Spirit, full of His presence where God is abiding in us, then guess what? Love can't live in us either. Not true love, not real love, not the love that goes over hurt and over all these things, not that kind. It's the over selfish love, right? It's that turn around, total eclipse of the heart love, the one that's frail. Instead, it's this real love. It resides in God. It says this, by this love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. It's perfected with us. It means that God is at work in your life through love. That's what it means. It's perfected in us. It's a process where He's working on you. Man, I've seen change, like dramatic change, where someone came to Christ and their life, everything just changed off of them. And that was the power of God. It was a miracle. And in most of our case, when we come to Christ, man, we come to Christ and it's a powerful thing, but we still have to walk it out. We still have to unlearn those ruts in our lives. We have to make new paths of our lives to go forward. It's one of these things where love is perfected. It is a process that He's working out in us. God's love is at work in us. You see it happening all the time where He takes someone who's unlovely, He calls them to Himself. In Scripture, He talks about where Christ is walking through in Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector. Everyone hated that guy. He was stealing from people. They hated him with a passion. And he was a short guy to boot. He had a bad time. He couldn't see Jesus. He was like doing one of these. Anybody see people do this? Where they can't look over other people? And all the tall people are like, no, I don't know what that is. I just put my hand on someone's head and just hang out. He couldn't do it, so he had to climb a tree to see Jesus. And when he did, he was just like looking, he saw Jesus. He's like, this is amazing. And Jesus looks up and he actually says this. He says to him, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Jesus looks up. He calls him by name. Zacchaeus is like, I know Jesus definitely doesn't know me. He's like, Zacchaeus, hey, come down. I have to go to your house today. Which is a huge honor that you would have someone like Jesus, this amazing teacher. Like, he didn't know he was the Son of God. This amazing teacher that would come to your house is such an honor. But no teachers would go to the tax collector's house. That guy was a thief and was unlovely and didn't love God. He was swindling the people of God. But Jesus loved him while he was afar off and brought him to himself. He did that with me. He does that with you. And with the person that you don't like, that's what he's going to do with them too. And the person that you can't stand on the news or in music or in pop culture, he has that plan for them as well. That while they're unlovely, he calls them by name and wants to bring them into community with him. It says in Luke 19, it says, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. And since also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. You say amen to that. That was what Jesus is about. He's on mission to see love impact people. And we look at the image of Christ. We think of all the things he's done for us. We think of his suffering. We think of the great price he paid. We also think about Christ glorified. We think about him as the resurrected Lord of heaven. We think about his sacred heart for us and his love for us, which is pure. We think about the grandeur by which he is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. We think about the glory that is his and his alone. But at the same time, we read in the scripture of all the blood, sweat, and tears he had to shed in order for that process to happen here on earth. Man, he would walk and he would teach. He would teach everyone. We're going to talk about it in a few weeks. Things like the Beatitudes. And he would teach them these deep things of God. Did they listen? No, they did not. And he would tell these things to his disciples. Who, did they get it the first time? No, they did not. Man, all the moms and dads can relate, yes? You're like, hey, did you clean your room? They're like, yeah. It's like you walk in there. What did you clean? The sock. There was one sock here. Why the rest of it looks like a tornado came through? Oh, you wanted that clean? Yes. This is how Jesus is with everyone else. He's like, listen, honor God, repent. They're like, you mean of everything? He's like, yeah. You think everything you should repent? Yeah. He didn't have that sarcasm. That's Jay's inflection of Jesus, okay? That's why I'm not Jesus, because I'd have been like, you think so? Uh-huh. Yeah, Peter, good idea, guy. You know, like, it would have been really bad. The scripture would be completely different. But man, he would spend that time, he would call those guys to himself. You see in the next image where it's that depiction of him, like, talking to people, and they're hearing the heartfelt things of God. They're hearing these things. It says, as he prepared to go, after 3 years, as he prepared to go into the city, he knew he was going to his death. It says he stops. In Luke 19, it says this, when he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it. See, Jesus was moved in his heart for the people of the city because he knew that not everyone in this city would respond to the things that he was going to share. He knew that the things that were going to come after them, he knew that all this stuff was going to happen again. They had already experienced the Syrians and the Babylonians. He experienced all these things. He knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. All these bad things were coming. And so when you fast forward, he spends the time, he cleans out the temple, he teaches with his disciples after triumphant entry, all these things happen. He goes to the garden and he's praying. He's set apart unto himself. He asks his followers to stay and to pray a while to offer. And he goes over and is having that quiet time with the Father. See, even Jesus was abiding with the Father. Just as we abide with him through the Spirit, similarly, Jesus was abiding with the Father. Man, and I love this depiction. This is the one that every Nana's bathroom has this picture of Jesus. Anybody? This is the one you walk in, is like, oh, that's the Nana bathroom picture of Jesus. It's right across from Footsteps in the Sand. Anybody seen that one? There's the two pictures. Every Nana's bathroom.
You guys think I'm kidding? When you become an Anna, you have to go buy those two things and hang them in your bathroom. It's like a law. I actually like this depiction a little bit more. It's from the Passion. I think it shows the desperation by which Jesus was in that moment. It says in Scripture, he withdrew from about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You can see in this next depiction, he was crying out with everything that was left. He knew what was coming. He knew not just the pain of being crucified and scourged by the whip. He knew the separation from God pain. He knew this pain where he full of God, who emptied himself of all holiness, who was connected to God by the Spirit, to the Father by the Spirit, was going to step out of that relationship and be alone. And he couldn't bear it. He's crying out to the Lord, if there's any way, Father, that this can pass for me, let it be so. It says, then it appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. It's that blood, that sweat, that tears. That's what Jesus is willing to do so that you can experience the love of God. That's what he's willing to do. He's willing to go to the cross so that you can know his love. That's the great sacrifice. That's the great price of love. That we wouldn't cheapen it, but instead we would hold it in high regard, because love resides in God, because the perfect sacrifice put it there. And that's what we see, is that we respond in that same way. Back in 1 John 4, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear is to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Perfect love casts out fear. I love that. What it means is the more we embrace the work of God in our life, the less things we're afraid of. And why is that? Because we understand that this world is temporal. It means it's going to pass away. And you know what? It could be stolen from you in a moment. Man, I had a really interesting conversation with a friend yesterday who was all wrapped up and worked up about politics and all these other things. And I understand where he's coming from. Those things are important. But here's the deal. It seemed to me, and we talked about it, I said, that's true. But in the long run, in eternity, what does it matter? It doesn't mean that we don't fight for what's right. It doesn't mean that we don't do what we're supposed to. Don't hear me say that. What I'm saying is, whenever it weighs on you with this great stress and it pulls you down, guess what? That's not for you. Instead, you're supposed to stay over here where you're saying, you know what, Lord, I trust you with that situation. Lord, I'm praying for these people, even the people I disagree with, especially the people I disagree with. Because you know what? We're supposed to pray for our enemies. Remember that from a couple weeks ago? Because we need to be the difference in the world. We need to be different than they are. They're malicious. They're treating people this way. They're doing these things. Guess what? We're going to be different than that. We're going to be full of love. And that's not easy. And that's why perfect love casts out fear. Because if you're afraid of what's going to happen by their actions, then you'll always live reacting from fear. But if you don't, and you say, no, I put my faith and trust in the Lord, and I still make wise decisions, prepare for my family, you know, expect to be living here a long, long time and see generations before the Lord comes back, that's fine. But guess what? We're not operating in fear. We're working in love and in the wisdom from God. That's a different peace, friends. It's a different peace. Because, man, we can be so afraid and all the actions that tie to that. You guys know what I mean. Put in the fill in the block for you. Some people, it's reactionary this way. Some, it's reactionary a completely different way. But that perfect love casts out fear. It says, we love because he first loved us. God loved us first. God loved us first. 1 John 4:20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. It says, for he does not love. See, God loved us first. He's the one that came to us. I think of that story of the prodigal, where the father, he runs to the prodigal son who had done him harm. He had taken part of his wealth and ran off. The father wasn't dead. He took it ahead of time and went and spent it frivolously, did all these things, brought shame to the family. But guess what? The father saw him a long ways off and ran to the son. And he wrapped a robe around him, put a ring on his finger, cleaned him off. He celebrated his son coming home. That's how Jesus is for you and for me. It says in Scripture, Luke 15, and he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. See, God runs to us. He runs to us through the love of Christ and his sacrifice for us. He runs to us and forgives us again and again when we make mistakes. He loves us. He loves you. That you would only embrace his love. And you wouldn't hold back those things that keep you over here. Instead, that you would let go of them and walk into the fullness of the experience that he has for you and for me. The last bit says this, that you're supposed to love your brother. Man, we talked about loving your enemies. Sometimes it's even harder to love your brother because you love your brother, and when they hurt you, it feels sharper. Whenever your brother and sister in the room or in this church or in the body of Christ, you feel that dagger deeper because they should know better than to treat you that way. Man, I know I've said things that make people, they make them mad, they get offended, and whatever things, and they feel that way towards me. Man, forgive me. That's not my intention towards you. That's not my intention towards you. And there's lots of things that I heard growing up, and even as I've been a pastor, that people have said and unintentionally offended me and said some really mean things. And I'm like, you don't think it's mean? I want to slap you. But there's Jesus, and he tells me be kind. Pastor Celeste said so. But that's me and myself. That's me wanting to be over here. And he says, no, perfect love casts out fear. I'm afraid of how people will perceive me or what is going to happen. Instead, he's like, no, we walk in forgiveness. We're going to live over here. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your brother and sister in Christ. Because if you don't love God. That's not my words. That's his words. So if God feels that way, then man, we better love each other. We better love our enemy. We better love our neighbor. We better be love and abide in the source of that love. I'm asking the worship team to come. We're gonna finish today with a really great song that has been powerful. But the encouragement to us and to you today is that love abides. And my question for you is, are you abiding in love? Are you allowing a love to abide in your life? Are you staying connected to the source, which is Jesus? Or are you trying your own thing? See, today as we come back and we worship, it's this opportunity to respond to him. So I'm gonna encourage you in this as we stand. I'm gonna invite you to stand if you would, please. And as we go into this song and then go into a blessing after it, I would encourage you in this. If there's something in your life that you have identified during this time of hearing this sermon, that God has already been talking to your heart, that you would take this time during this song and make an altar with God. If that's at your seat, then so be it. Or if that's where you're at home, so be it. But I would encourage you in this. If you're so bold, if you would be so bold, that you would step out from your seat and come here to the altar. And it's an action step saying, Lord, I want to be love. I want to live full of your love. I want to abandon these hurts or these other things in my life. I want to be full of you. And if that's you today, I encourage you, take that step. No one's watching you. Everyone is doing their own process with the Lord. Come and take that step and say yes to the Lord at the altar. If you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, today's your opportunity to do so. Today's your opportunity to respond to his love. It says in the scripture that Christ came and he lived a perfect life and he died for the sin of all people for all time. It says in Romans 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so today is your opportunity to say yes. And if that's you here today and you want to say yes to Jesus, if you're in this room, if you let me know by raising your hand, I'd love to pray with you today. If that's you, or if that's you to make that decision again, we see those hands. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, we thank you that you abide with us. Lord, your love abides in us. Lord, we're so blessed because of it. But Lord, we have to be connected to the source for that to happen. So Lord, we come and we run to you, Lord, that we would abide and stay connected to you. Lord, that we want to purge ourselves of anything, Lord, that would be against what you have for us. But Lord, instead we come to you with everything that we have, Lord, so that we can be filled up with your love. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive us. Lord, of our shortcomings, of our sin, of our failure. But Lord, instead we ask, Lord, that you would fill us by your Spirit, Lord, to a new level, Lord, as we respond to your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I open the altar to you today. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that we choose to abide in you. Lord, and we're so thankful you abide in us. We pray for more of your Spirit, that you would just pour yourself out upon us. For you are the Lord, Jireh. Before we go, we pray this blessing over us all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace. Lord, I pray a blessing upon your church, your people. God, you would empower us by your Spirit to live your love out to those around us. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Know this. We love you very much here at Cornerstone. God bless you and have a great week.